WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning again, everyone. Welcome back to the program. Thanks for being here with us on our Friday edition of The Opening Bell. Lots of aviation news this week. Some international flights capacity being added by United Airlines. And the role of artificial intelligence in making airline stories go viral. We'll talk about a few of those this morning with Brian Summers, who's the aviation business editor at skift.com. And Brian is with us this morning via Skype from the Skift headquarters in New York City. Brian, good morning. Let's start first with United Airlines, the hometown airlines, adding lots of capacity, international capacity out of San Francisco. Why is this a big story?
Right, Steve. United is the hometown airline, and there were some people in Chicago that noticed. The airline announced some big growth this week internationally. It's not in Chicago. It comes in this airport hub they call their crown jewel in San Francisco. It's just such a great hub for United. There's a lot of money on the West Coast, especially in Northern California. United has a lot of big corporate customers there, and so they're expanding. It was a big announcement. They're going to do San Francisco to New Delhi, which is a new route for them, although they fly that from Newark. They're going to go to Melbourne, Australia. They're also going to go to Toronto and then bulk up some other routes. So they're going to do a second daily to Seoul, Korea. You know, this is big news for United. United has said that it didn't expand enough under previous management, and it wants to sort of win back this share that it lost over the years. They're definitely fighting.
And it comes at a time, too, when the economy is doing well. I know United, we talked last week about how well things at United specifically have been going, but this seems like further proof that they're on the right track.
It does seem like proof that things are going well. You know, I don't want to be a downer here, and I hope things work well for United, and I think they will. But people may remember in about 2000, 2001, United also had a pretty remarkable route network across the globe. We all know what happened in September of 2001, and it took the industry so long to recover. There was also a recession about that time, and a lot of routes that were launched in the early 2000s, they just never worked, and they went away. So hopefully these routes are more sustainable. I know the United folks would tell you that a lot of these new routes are on the Boeing 787, and it really is an impressive aircraft, not only for customers, but also for the airline. So it's a very fuel efficient, and it makes a lot of routes much more financially viable than they were back 15, 18 years ago, where if United wanted to run these routes, it would be on a Boeing 747. Cool airplane, four engines, burns a lot of fuel, just antiquated technology. And of course, it was last year that United retired those aircraft.
Do you suspect that United might be getting ready to make other announcements like this at other airports, at other hubs? What is your sense?
It's a good question, Steve. United had a conference call earlier this week where they teased out they might expand more from Chicago. Chicago is a very important hub to United. They have added some flights there. But people in my industry, we don't get excited about a new flight to Champaign or Rochester, Minnesota, right? We want to fly 6,700, 7,000, 8,000 miles. We want to fly from, you know, Chicago to New Zealand or something like that. And United did say on the call, you know, stay with us. We will probably expand in Chicago, maybe as soon as the next time they have a big announcement.
Looking back on this week, another big piece of airline news was involving Delta Airlines banning emotional support and service animals, puppies, and long flight hours, more than 8 hours. What did Delta do this week?
Yeah, you know, Delta came out with some new rules for emotional support animals and then service animals as well. One of the things they said is they're really not going to take, you know, puppies or young animals. So they're not going to take any animals fewer than 4 months old. And they're also, as you said, not going to accept support animals on flights longer than 8 hours. And I think people can sort of figure out why this was necessary. If you're going to have a service animal on an airplane, I know a lot of people need them. But, you know, anything over 8 hours, I mean, these are animals. There isn't a place for the animals to relieve themselves. And I think Delta had found it was just having too much trouble. They said that they had a 84% increase in what they called incidents over a two-year period ending in 2017. And it was just not sustainable for them. And I imagine that other airlines will follow as well. There might be people listening here who have genuine needs for service animals, and this may not be the best news for them. And I don't know what's going to happen to them going forward. But anybody who's been on an airplane in the past 3 or 4 years has probably noticed that some of these support animals may not be necessary for people. People may be trying to bring their pets on the airplane, and they get a doctor's note supporting it.
Yeah. One of the incidents, I know it was a highly publicized one where it was a 70-pound dog bit somebody on the plane. Those are big incidents.
Those are big incidents, and airline employees have been complaining to me privately about these incidents for years. They just haven't known what to do about it so far because, you know, this country does have laws, as I said. I mean, there are some people that genuinely need these animals, and I know that airlines knew they can't keep those people from having their animals on board.
Another really cool story from this week is one that you wrote about, how airline stories go viral and the involvement of artificial intelligence in that.
Yeah, it is an interesting story. So I profiled this company called Dataminr this week. And Dataminr does a lot of things for a lot of different types of companies and even governments. But what I noted is that Dataminr uses artificial intelligence basically to mine Twitter for airline news. So there could be somebody with 12 followers who tweets out something, you know, smoke at the cockpit on my flight, we're going to make an emergency landing. And basically, as soon as that tweet goes out, Dataminr finds it and flags it for reporters. So a lot of things that may never have become news in the past end up getting flagged by Dataminr, and then they end up on your local Fox or CBS station as the lead story, maybe even WGN radio. There are a lot of minor things that Dataminr picks up, and then reporters turn them into big news, and I think airlines don't like that as much. But Dataminr can also pick up very big news. So I highlighted this catastrophic engine failure in Chicago that American Airlines had a little bit more than 2 years ago. You know, this is something, of course, everybody would have found out about it eventually. I mean, the airplane was on the runway at O'Hare and it was on fire. But reporters found out about it literally like immediately, right? Because somebody takes out their phone, takes a picture of smoke at O'Hare. 1 second later, Dataminr picks it up, and then reporters have access. So there's just like no lag time anymore, and there's no secrets. And this is all because of artificial intelligence. It's pretty cool, maybe a little creepy, but I think mostly cool.
Yeah, we use Dataminr here in our newsroom for a variety of different areas, including aviation. So I guess this is just keeping the social media and PR teams at these airlines on their toes.
It is. And it's interesting that you say, Steve, that WGN Radio uses Dataminr, right? Because as Dataminr and other folks told me, newsrooms are using Dataminr for all types of stories. But there's just something about aviation that makes it pick up more stories. So a CBS News correspondent told me, you know, the reason that we use Dataminr so much for airline stories and not for other stories is because an airplane is the only place where two people could have some sort of fight and it would become national news, right? I mean, if somebody is going down Michigan Avenue and they get in a fight with a stranger, it's not going to become big news. But it happens, you know, in row 12 on a United Airlines airplane, and all of a sudden it's in the Daily Mail in the UK. It's crazy.
Yeah, it is. Then there's the story about travel for the holidays. We have another one coming up. Christmas is on the way. The airlines expecting another big increase in travel during Christmas and New Year's.
The airlines are expecting a big increase in travel, Steve, but I actually knew you were going to ask me this question, and so I did some preparation. So the trade group representing U.S. airlines has said that about 2.5 million people per day are going to travel during Christmas week. So that's a lot. It's probably more than an average day. But I can tell you that the big travel season in the United States, it's not Christmas. It's summer, and it's the whole summer. It's June, July, and August. And that's when, according to the Trade Association, 2.7 million passengers per day fly. So even if you fly, you know, during Christmas week, it's probably not going to be as bad as, say, a Friday in July when lots and lots of people want to fly.
I like what you did there. The catching this story. I mean, this is, again, one of those things that I think the news media gets onto, and we kind of blow these holiday type travel stories up more than they should be.
Yeah, I mean, for pretty much every airline, holidays are good. The summer is just the best time of the year. That's when the flights are most full. That's often when fares are highest. So if you traveled over the summer and you were able to handle it, I promise you that you're going to be able to handle flying over the Christmas season.
Brian, this is the last time we're going to get to talk to you this year. I just want to tell you that we're very happy and thankful that we've had you on this year, bringing us all kinds of expertise in the aviation industry. And we look forward to having more conversations with you in the new year.
Thank you, Steve. I love doing this, and I will see you again next year.
Brian Summers is the aviation business editor for Skift.com. Make sure you follow on Twitter at Skift and follow Brian as well at Brian Summers. And also sign up for the weekly Skift Airline Innovation Report at Skift.com/airline.